All right. Good evening, brethren, friends. Good evening. It is good to see everyone. We do have visitors. Thank you for coming. We definitely invite you back each and every opportunity that you have. This morning, we were discussing, really, actually, I guess you could title both lessons, of course, Judgments of Christ, Judgments, the Judgment of Christ with Jerusalem and all men. This morning we discussed Matthew 24 again. Once again, we're going to be looking at Matthew 24, Matthew 25. This is where you need to open your Bible. Again, if you don't have a Bible, I would recommend that you open one up behind the pew there and get that and fire that up. And really, that's about the only place we're going to be this evening once again. And we have been discussing our Lord of Lords, our King of Kings. And because of that, His place is the Judge of all. He is our judge. He is our eternal judge. Jesus is our king. He rules over this body of Christ. It is his kingdom. It is his church. We have looked at that before. But this morning, the bulk of the lesson, and it brought us up to verse 35, verse 34, chapter 24. He says, "Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place." All of these things that we were talking about prior to that, and beginning in chapter 23, and then up to that point, the 34, 35 verses in Matthew 24, up to that point, Jesus was giving them warnings, he was giving them signs, he was giving them things they needed to watch out for, with the impending judgment that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. The Roman army was going to come in, they were going to come in without mercy, without warning. And listen, this isn't business as usual. As you see this sign coming, you need to get out of town. You need to flee to the mountains. He was suggesting that he hoped that it wasn't on the Sabbath for various reasons. He hoped that it wasn't in the winter for those that were pregnant or with child, how difficult that would be. All of these things were written that, and of course, this judgment was brought on them because of their final rejection of Jesus Christ as the Messiah, that they will crucify him. Now Jesus will judge all men also on the final day. Now, after verse 34, 35, the Lord shifts gears a little bit. Chapter 24, beginning verse 36 through 41. I want you to notice that in this section now that we're going to be looking at, there's no signs that are given about the judgment to come. He has been giving, prior to this, sign after sign after sign about the impending judgment of Jerusalem. But I want you to notice now there's not been any signs given. Verse 36 to 39, no signs are given about the final day, just like in the days of Noah. Notice, he brings that case again, he brings up Noah's generation. "But of that day," he says, "and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now notice, that day, that hour. Now that's an interesting change in how the Lord is expressing himself about the two different kinds of judgment. The final judgment comes in terms of singular words. Notice that, all right? The day, the hour. And that's in also in verse 36, 42. I'm watching down here. 44, verse 50. These singular terms, chapter 25, verse 13. What I'm saying is, I want you to notice that this also is a consistent thread as he's talking about the final day, all right? As these events unfold, he's talking about the final day, the final judgment day. Now, look back over, if you look back over what we talked about this morning, the judgment concerning Jerusalem, all right, you have the plural. What we talked about, these days, those days, all right? There are plural terms, verse 19, chapter 24, verse 22, verse 29. These days, those days, because as days passed, alright, that those events unfolded, alright, they became, that constituted the judgment of Israel. These days, those days. So there's a difference in how he explains just in that, in the two judgments here. Now verse 40, there's going to be a sudden separation of the saints. Notice. "There shall be two in the field.
the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. When the Lord comes on that day, there's going to be an instant separation. An instant separation will take place. Saints for sinners, all right? The saints will rise up to meet the Lord instantly. Now, if you think about the Romans and what happened in prior to verse 35 in chapter 24, there was no such separation. If you remember what we said about Josephus, what he'd written, the bodies were piled up on every side. There were so many dead you couldn't see the ground. The Roman soldiers didn't come into Jerusalem and go, well, let's let him and pick him. There was no such picking. That's not how they did it. They killed everybody. But on the last great day, there's going to be a separation, as noted in that verse. Some will be taken to glory, and others will what? Be taken to eternal hell. They'll be doomed, but there will be a separation. All right. Now, beginning in verse 42, all the way really through chapter 25, about verse 46, I want you to hear the theme that's there. Now he's telling, there's a theme, there's an emphasis on the final day, on the final judgment, and that is that all of us always need to be ready for that day. There's a theme here in what we're going to hear next. Always be ready for that day. Now think about how different that was from what we were reading this morning in chapter 24, prior to verse 35, because we read about afflictions, we read about abnormal events, we read about sorrows, we read about all these things with the impending judgment of Jerusalem, but that wasn't the end even then. Until they see that absolute sign, the abomination of desolation, all that great sign, and then when they see that, what were they told to do? Well, they were told to flee. They were told to get out of town, you run. Now, that's totally different with what we're reading now, or what we're seeing now. And really, what it's not. I just want to say, just be ready. That's what I'm reading. That's what I'm recognizing for the final judgment day. Why is that? There's not going to be signs. There's not going to be any signs at all. The time is unknown, and it's just like the coming of the thief. Verse 42. Watch, he says, therefore, for you know not the hour, what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken into. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. All right? So what's the emphasis as we begin looking at the text? Well, the emphasis is you need to be watchful. You need to watch, you need to be ready. He's coming. We don't know the hour. The King James Version says hour. Some of your translations may say day, but it's singular, in such an hour. We're talking about this judgment. We're talking about a different time, a different day. Singular, the final judgment day, expressed in singular terms. A lot different than the judgment of Jerusalem, expressed in plural terms, those days. And I know I've repeated that a thousand times, but I want you to see that consistency. That's the difference in what we're looking at now. Verses 45 to 51, the time is unknown. That day, the time is unknown for his return like the unexpected return of the master. Look at verse 45. A master. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? So here's a fellow who's going to travel away from his home, and he gives some responsibilities and duties to the servants there to take care of his house. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler, he says, over all of his goods. Notice that. Now, he's making an illustration. The servant, he doesn't know when his master's coming back, but he does diligence. He works to fulfill his duty while he's gone. Now, when the master comes back, what does he do? Well, he rewards that servant in this. But now, let's keep reading. Look at verse 48. But if the evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. I don't know if he's coming back. I don't know when he's coming back. He's been gone a long time. I just don't know if he's even coming back. I just don't know anything about it. Now notice, and shall begin to smite. So what's he going to do about it? He's going around. So he shall begin to smite his fellow servant, and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour, singular, that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the master comes back and finds the servant not fulfilling his duties. You've not fulfilled your duties. You've abused your opportunity. What's happening here? I'm going to punish you severely. That's his point. So, the time that Jesus Christ returns, the second coming, the judgment day, the final day, is unknown. Even Jesus himself said, what? I don't know when that is. My Father in heaven knows when that is. What Lord knows now? He didn't know then, did he? I want you to know now. By the way, again, I stress, a day, an hour, look at the singular, it's not plural. All right, singular. And we have that consistency, that pattern, that singular expression there. Now, that leads us to chapter 25. And again, this chapter, the break, that we talked a little bit about this morning, the break there is artificial. There's a continuance here. Jesus continues his teaching. And what you find next is the parable of the virgins. We know that. The foolish and wise virgins that were there waiting on the bridegroom. And the emphasis here is, need what? All right. And you need to be prepared, just as a group of people might be waiting for a bridegroom that is delayed in coming. Now, I'm not going to read all the verses, but I want you to look at verse 13 at the end of the parable. Watch. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. All right? So I want you to see the consistency there again. A lot of difference in what we talked about earlier this morning. But now you watch for that day. Why should you watch for that day? Because we don't know when that day's coming. All right? And there's no sign, he says. But in that day, he will reward the faithful servant, and he will punish the evil servant. That's the lesson of the parable. All right? And you see how that carries over from chapter 24 right into chapter 25. Now, after that parable is the parable of the talents. All right? So, watch and prepare as you know that you're going to have to give an account to the master for your stewardship. That's what he's talking about in this parable. Now, the master gives so much that this is a talent of money. I know that we've used that word a lot. Boy, he has a real talent to sing, but this is about money. And what he's talking about is he gave 5 talents to one, 2 talents to the other, 1 talent to somebody else. And so, as he's talking about this money, he returns and he wants a responsible use for the money that he had given them, and after he returns, he has to give an account. That's the point. Alright? Verse 19. Again, I won't take the time to read all of that. He says, after a long time, the master of those servants came to settle accounts with them. What happens after the delay? What happens after this period of time that we're all in? All of us, what's the point? There's going to be a time of accounting. All of us will have that time to come. He rewards the faithful servant. Remember the man that had the 5? He rewarded him. The man that had 2, rewarded him. But the one that shirked his responsibility, didn't use it right, he punished the evil one that only had 1 talent. Why? Because he was lazy. Because he was slothful. Because he didn't do his duty. So, there's an accounting, even after all of these parables, that we recognize and have to be done. Verse 31 to 36, really the last part of this section of teaching here. What you have here is a scene of the final judgment day. And the point emphasized here is not so much to prepare. That's what it is. It's prepare really by helping your brethren in Christ. It's not so much to watch. There's an idea here in these verses in 31 through 36 of how to prepare, how to make ready. And how you do that is you do the deeds of kindness as we have opportunity to see each other, taking care of each other and our brethren. That's his point in that section. Verse 33, he says, he shall set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on the left. And to those on the right, he said, welcome, I bring you into the kingdom prepared. Verse 34, and to those on the left, he said, depart from me to everlasting fire. And so, he will reward the faithful servant, and he punishes the evil servant. Now, what are some important lessons that we can get out of this? And now, number one, again, Christ judges all men. He is the judge. And as Christ judges, he punishes the wicked. And again, this morning, don't let that thought in our society dilute your thinking. Alright? We live in a society that says, do what you want, do when you want it, do how you want it, and you're not going to suffer consequences, not going to be any payment. You don't have to worry about it. Live how you want, and that's what our society says. Don't let our society steal that from you, and you think that too. Don't do that. Christ will judge indeed and punish the wicked. That's exactly what he's going to do. If you think about what we read earlier this morning, he definitely punished stubborn Jerusalem, did he not? He did. And what a horrible, I think, and such a destructive picture is painted in the destruction of Jerusalem also will stand before Christ on the last day. You know, he does punish evil. In chapter 24, 37 through 39, he talks about Noah's generation there and how they were punished and how they perished during Noah's time and they weren't prepared. And really, that's what he's saying. He's saying, are you like that? Do you remember the days of Noah? Do you remember what happened there? Listen, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to do that again. And you need to be thinking about that. That's what he's saying here. And so if you're busy doing this and that, and you're not paying much attention to what the Lord's saying, you better know something. He's going to come back. And he's going to do the very same thing that he did before. That's what's going to happen. Now, in chapter 24, verse 45, there's the illustration about the return of the master. What happened there, that startled the evil servant. Oh, he's just gone forever. He didn't come back. I got him back. And so when he did come back, it startled him. I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord comes back, it startled a lot of people. There's going to be a lot of startled people when the trump sounds. Because guess what? Everything, just like it always has been, chapter 25, the wise and foolish virgin, what happened? Well, the door was shut for the ones that were foolish. What they do? Let me in. Let me in. No, the door was shut. You know, I don't doubt that Noah heard people knocking on the ark. No, that's not recorded. But I'll tell you what, if I was on the outside, I'd be banging on that ark. Let me in. I'm sure here crowds of those that were drowning and dying. But it was too late. The door was shut. So the folks, I'll tell you, you can smirk and you can laugh and you can just do whatever you want to do in this world. You can just do that. But I'll tell you what, you're going to be beating on that door. What's going to that? You're going to be doing that. And you know, wait, I won't be saved. I won't repent. No. Wait, I don't want to be judged yet. But I promise you, you won't get in. And Jesus wants us to see these illustrations. Jesus wants to recognize what's there. It's a great judge that is ruling our world. And the parable of the talents, again, in chapter 25, those that fulfilled their duty, what was good? They were rewarded. They were rewarded, but the wicked servant was cast out where? The place was wailing, gnashing of teeth, eternal torment. And I think that's where you'll go. You'll go to that place if you're like that. And I look at that scene and the final judgment day, those terrible words, depart from me. And you might not think you'll ever hear those words. But I promise you, you're going to hear those words. If you live like they're living and continue to live in sin, I can promise you that you'll hear those words. Depart from me. I don't know you. You may never think you'll hear them, but you're going to hear those words. What can we learn from that? Christ the judge not only punishes evil, listen, the Lord rewards good. And we need that balance. We need to hear that just as much. As you go back over to chapter 23, you look at what we're talking about in Jerusalem there, his elect, when he talks about the saints that are there, that are seeing the impending doom of Jerusalem coming, and you look at that, but you know what? There were many saints that were saved because they listened to Jesus. Hey, wait a minute. I remember what the Lord said about that time. Oh, yeah, I remember that too. Oh, hey, has the eagle, do you see the eagle yet? Is that coming? Is that coming yet? Because remember what he said now. All these signs, get ready now. Get ready. Oh, it's time to move our feet. There comes the Roman army. And there were a lot of Christians that were saved that way because they listened to what the Lord said. But you understand what I'm saying? The saints were ready. They were ready. Why? Because they were watching. They were listening. And they escaped. What a wonderful Lord we have. If he's severe in his judgment, you better believe it. If he's just in his judgment, yes. But he is also a judge. And don't forget it. That can deliver his people. That loves his people. That wants you to be saved. That's why he gave all those folks those warnings and those signs that you need to listen to. Chapter 24, he gave an illustration of the return of the master. the servant that was doing good, the servant that fulfilled his duty. What happened there? He was rewarded. That's what happened. And then he talked about the parable of the talents, the five man talents that did what he should. He was rewarded with five more talents. The two talent guy, he's got two more talents. The master that we serve, just like his parable, he's telling you that he'll reward us. And then in chapter 25, the thing there on the final judgment day, yes, there's going to be many, the scripture says, that hear the words depart from me, I never knew you. But there's going to be some in verse 34. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that is prepared for you. I want to hear those words. I want to hear those words. And I believe that all of us can hear those words if we faithfully serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to underscore what Jesus drove hard, I believe, in the last section of what we've been looking at. And it's, we must be ready. We just must be ready. Are you ready? I mean, really, are you ready? And what I mean by that, if he comes right now, while I'm doing this sermon, he can come right now. Are you ready for the Lord to come right now and judge you right now? Someday, if it's not this day, he's going to come when somebody's preaching a sermon somewhere, somehow. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. And really, as you look at Matthew 24, on that day and that hour, no man knows, not even the angels. He said it's going to be like Noah's time. It's going to be like Noah. And he drove that point when he was talking about that. You be ready for that final day. You be ready for that final hour. Always be ready. So always be ready is what? I need to be ready when? Right now. Are you ready right now for Jesus Christ to come back? What? Well, you need to say, wait a minute now. Oh, wait, stop. I haven't obeyed the gospel yet. Wait a minute, I need to repent. I need the prayers of the saints. Wait a minute, no, not yet. I've been doing this and that. No, wait. No, I can't be judged right now. Is that you? The thing is, he comes right now. You know what's happening? You're going to be judged right now. That's what he's saying. There's not wait a few minutes. There's not what tomorrow. It's right now, and that's what he's saying. And that's what happened in times. No. Think about that. Noah was ready. But most of the people, everybody in the world, but eight people, they weren't ready. I get the feeling there's a lot of people not ready. They're not ready for Jesus Christ to come back. You like Noah? Or you like most people? What about the master that returned unexpectedly, found a faithful servant and found an unfaithful servant? Which one are you? You the faithful servant? Or are you the unfaithful servant? The story about the virgins, the parable of the bridegroom, he returned unexpectedly? Are you the wise? Are you the foolish? Which are you? Which are you? Individually. You on this side, you ready? Y'all ready? You ready? About the back there, you guys ready? Think about it. About time, are you ready for the Lord to come back? Right now! Well, I want to tell you something. We must be ready. At all times. That's what the Lord's talking about here. I'm going to tell you something. Sin will not help you get ready. You know something? Whatever sin you're caught up in, whatever sin you're practicing, whatever sin you're tolerating, whatever sin you're compromising, whatever sin you're doing, your sin is not going to help you get ready for the Lord's return. Say something else. Stubbornness is not going to help you get ready. There's folks in this room heard the gospel many times. I'm telling you. There's folks that know exactly what to do. But they're not going to do what they need to do. You know why they're stubborn? Nope. Not going to do it. Your stubbornness will not help you get ready. You know what to do. I'm not going to do it. Some are self-right. I can take this. I'm happy to look. I'm easy going. I can take what that guy's saying. I can take it or leave it. I'm okay. You're okay. Everybody's okay. There's all way back in it. There's no use taking this thing serious. I'm going to tell you something. That attitude's not going to help you get ready.
It's not going to help you get ready.
I take this church thing for a big deal.
Take it or leave it. That's not going to help you get ready. Neglect doesn't prepare you to get ready. You know those that were destroyed, that were killed, that were not saved in the destruction of Jerusalem, they were unprepared. They neglected a lot of things. They neglected what Jesus said. The warnings that Jesus pronounced. Just like you may be sitting there right now, disregarding the warnings that you're hearing coming from Scripture right now about the way that you are, and you're not ready. Ready! Say something else. False doctrine doesn't help you prepare to get ready. There's a lot of folks in a lot of places tonight that are hearing a lot of lessons, that are hearing false teaching that they think is going to save their soul. It's not going to save their soul. They're going to be lost to an eternal hell because they listened to a false teacher, didn't open the Word of God and see what it takes to be a New Testament Christian. False teaching is not going to help. You know, that's part of what happened to the Jews while they were destroyed. Jesus warned of those deceivers. And I'll tell you what a lot of them did. We talked a little bit about it. They had a carnal focus, a physical mind focus. And a lot of folks, amen, this world is what it's all about. You know what? Physically minded, most toys win, whatever I got, I'm doing great. A lot of carnal minded folks out there. That's not going to help you get ready. So what kind of focus do we have? I mean, really answer that question. You know, we talked a little bit about the premillennial attitude this morning, basically because we were in the destruction of Jerusalem. But 99% of the denominational world out there teach that false doctrine that the Lord's going to come back, set up a physical kingdom, reign 1,000 years. It's all a lie. And everybody in the world believing that. And there's nowhere that an earthly kingdom is going to be established in Matthew 23, Matthew 24, or Matthew 25, or for that matter, in anywhere in the Bible. It's just not in the Bible. And premillennialism distorts the signs and all of those things. There's no such signs given for the last day. All right? Many signs before that day. But if you believe that the Lord is going to come and establish an earthly kingdom, reign for 1,000 years, you know what? I'd love to sit down in the room with you and talk about what the church is, the spiritual kingdom that was established by the blood of Christ that will live and abide forever and ever, that Jesus Christ rules over right now. Jesus is coming back. He will never set foot on this earth again. He will be in the clouds. The trump will sound. The dead will rise, and you will too. We'll meet him in the air, and we will be judged on the final day. I hope you see how crystal clear, as you read these three chapters, that there are two sides of this coin. You just need to be careful when you read it. Look at how things change. And there's two very different occasions in these chapters. Very different. There's a temporal and national judgment that comes upon Jerusalem. 2,000 years ago, there were signs that were given, there were warnings that occurred, and there were abnormal things going on. And when people that listened to what Jesus said, guess what? They got to run, they got to flee, they got to get away from all this judgment and all the death and carnage. And then we read about the final judgment. What's the difference? There's no signs given about the final day, the final judgment. That will be for all men for all time. That's what the Lord's talking about. And when that happens, it's just going to be normal times just like today. Eat today, drink. Hey, we're going to have a baby shower. We got people getting married, people having babies. Everything's normal. And then what happens? The Lord comes. Just like Noah's day. And you know what's going to happen then? The trump sounds. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to run high. I'm bolting. He'll never find me, just like it was in the days. No, there's not going to be any running. There's not going to be any hiding. If you're not ready now, the judgment begins now. That's his point. I'll tell you why else there's not going to be running. Because the judgment for Jerusalem, what that happened? On earth, 70 AD. You know where the judgment of the Lord is going to be on the day, the final day? It's going to be in heaven. And every single one of us will stand before the Lord and give an account of our lives.
And we will find out on that day where we will spend our eternal destiny. You ready? You ready? Have you thought about the things that are keeping you from being ready? The final days of reality, folks. This book's filled with it. Stop looking for signs. Repent of your sins and live for Jesus Christ. I promise you, when that day comes, and you're standing before the Lord, and you're a faithful Christian, I promise you, this book says, you're going to heaven. If you've rejected and rejected and spurned the invitation over and over again for whatever reason, I promise you, you will burn in hell for an eternity. Forever and ever. I promise you. That's what the book says. You ready? Look at those three chapters. Any questions about that? Sure be glad to sit down and talk with you about that. The Bible says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's how one becomes a Christian. He's been told you to pray, accept Jesus in your heart, do all this junk. It's a lie. Don't believe a lie. That's all the New Testament teaches about how to become a Christian. A lot of false teaching out there. That's not going to get you to be ready for the last day. The Bible says we can be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you don't do that, what a long eternity in hell suffering, knowing that you had every opportunity 1,000 times. You rejected that on that day. Because you'll do that, I promise the Lord will reject you. You've been a faithful Christian, you're going to heaven. Please come. As together we stand and sing.